So we could say that this cloud, this pillar of fire, was the very presence of God that provided for them, that guided them, that gave them physical comfort. And you can see, here's a little picture of what maybe it kind of looked like right here in the wilderness, you know, with the presence of God. I mean, that would grab your attention, wouldn't it? Forget that firework display. I mean, you got this, you got everything, right? Praise God. Now, notice again in Exodus that they had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. This was supernatural guidance. And wherever that cloud went, wherever that fire went, they followed it. So they couldn't miss it. So in other words, wherever that fire went, wherever that cloud went, that was where they were supposed to go for that particular day. Now, if that cloud and that fire stayed put and they pitched their tents and they set up camp and they just stayed there until that cloud moved. Are you with me? Now, over in the New Testament here, I want you to look at this scripture right here in Matthew chapter 3. So is there supernatural guidance for the children of God today? There really is. And we're going to see how He guides us, how He leads us, you know. Now, again, you might be thinking, well, I've read a lot of things about this. I've studied along this line. If you keep an open spirit, God can impart things to you that you didn't think you needed. Amen? Now, listen, I know just from, you know, Brother Hagin being my spiritual father, you know, that he was notorious for repeating himself. Okay? And I'll tell you, I heard him say some of the same stories hundreds of times. I mean, over and over and over again, you know. And you could almost, I know where he's going with this one. You know what I'm saying? But like one guy say, if truth frustrates you, you don't have a revelation of it. People say, I've heard that before. And sometimes even in church, I'll repeat certain things as the Lord leads me. You know, I'll repeat a story or something that, because I feel impressed to do that. And sometimes in your mind, you're thinking, I know where he's going with that. I've heard that before. But if you keep your mind shifted on, then God can impart something to you at that moment that maybe you didn't know. And I would do that with Brother Kenneth Hagin, because he would say something. He would say that maybe a same story, but in a little different light. And I would get something from that. I would glean from that. Amen. Okay? So it shall be with this particular subject here about being led by the Spirit. Now notice Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It says this. This is John the Baptist. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. He'll baptize you with... John said this. John the Baptist said this. He goes, look, my mission here is I'm sent here to baptize you with water to prepare you for the first coming of Jesus. And that's what he did. He prepared the Jews. He prepared the people for that, for Jesus when he was coming. He was getting them ready for that. All right? But he said, there's coming one after me. You remember John the Baptist said this. He said his prayer basically was this, that I must decrease in order that he might increase. John the Baptist knew that he had a mission, but it was only for a period of time. He knew that. His mission was for a select period of time. And so when he came on the scene, it was a powerful thing. Jesus even said, he said, among all the prophets that existed, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. Why? Because all the other prophets prophesied about the coming Messiah, but they were not there to see him. But John the Baptist was there to see the Messiah that Isaiah prophesied about hundreds of years before that. He was there to see that. In fact, he was the one that baptized him. Right? Now, here's just a little side thought here. You know that sometimes we don't think about this, you know, but you remember when John was thrown in prison, John the Baptist was thrown in prison. He was being persecuted. And he sent some of his disciples to Jesus, you know, and he said, tell us, is this the one that we're looking for? Is this the Messiah? Right? So he was in prison. He was under the fire, so to speak. He was under persecution. They're ready to take his head off, you know. And he sent some of his followers and said, tell Jesus, is he the one we're looking for, or do we look for another? Remember that? Now, wait a minute. Let's back up a minute here. When Jesus baptized Jesus, I mean, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, there's all these people there, of course, you know. And you see the Trinity in one place, all at one time. Here you got Jesus, the Son of God. Then you got the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And the Holy Ghost isn't a dove, but like a dove. Okay? Spirit of God is not a bird. But he can descend like a bird. Because we got the, you know, the little dove and all that stuff. But the Holy Ghost is not a bird. Because listen, we're made in God's likeness, in God's image. But there are characteristics. That's probably a revelation to you this morning, isn't it? Oh, I didn't know that today. But, you know, a bird will descend. Well, the Holy Ghost descended like a bird on Jesus, lighted upon him. And then guess what happened? A voice spoke out of the clouds. And this is before they had big loudspeakers and, you know, big bass modules and all that kind of stuff. I mean, here comes God's voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, you know. So here you got Jesus, here you got the Holy Ghost, and you got the Father God speaking all in one place. Now, if you were there present during that time, when that happened, you would think that every doubt that you would ever have from there forward would be eradicated. Because I was, you know, like people would say, dude, I was there. I heard it. I saw it. Yeah. I saw Jesus. I saw the Holy Ghost. I heard God's voice from heaven. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all in one place at one time. Yeah. You would think from that point forward, you're like, I'll never have another doubt again. But that's not what happened. John the Baptist was just a few days later was thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. He began to doubt whether or not this was the real deal. So here's the point I'm trying to make is this. Just because you have a supernatural experience with God doesn't mean that down the road you're not going to still have to exercise your faith and believe God. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Folks, I've been in meetings before where I've seen people's arms and legs grow out. I've been there, okay? We prayed for one person one time and years ago when we were assistants in a new believers class, and the one leg was shorter than the other about that much, okay? We were teaching and training new believers about healing, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the basic fundamentals of God's Word. And I found myself, put myself on the limb, you know, and I said, is there anybody here? We're teaching on healing, in matter of fact. And I said, does anybody here need healing? Couple people raised their hand. I said, what's your problem? My one leg's shorter than my other leg. I'm thinking, let's go to the next person. I couldn't be a cold or now. See, God doesn't have to put any more effort into healing a cold as he does a tumor or anything like that. He's already paid the price, you know. So my spirit just rose up. I said, come on up here right now. And I had him sit down. I said, matter of fact, class, you come up here. Now you talk about an object lesson. I said, class, come on up here. And there's about, you know, 20 people or so. I said, gather around this person right now. Remember that? And I got down on my knee like this. I said, now hold your legs out. And they held their legs out like this, okay? And sure enough, it was about that much shorter, okay? Now, I wasn't pushing it, wasn't doing anything in the natural to try to manipulate. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, it's kind of like people get in line and people push them down. Well, I just held my hand like this. And I said, on the count of three, all of us in this class, we're going to say the name of Jesus. We're going to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. So I said, one, two, three. In the name, everybody said, and they're all looking like this, you know, big eyes, you know. And they watched the miracle. And I saw in my hand, that leg just went, just grew out. Just grew out about an inch. Praise God. And I said, that was the best object lesson these new believers could have ever saw. They saw the name of Jesus work right there in that room like that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But just because you see a miracle or hear of something or watch something happen doesn't mean that tomorrow, next week, next month, that you're still not going to have doubt try to come against you. I mean, John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of all, according to Jesus, had doubt come against him in prison. What did Jesus respond? His response was this. He said, you tell John. He said, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. And he says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Amen. See, John was tempted to become offended because of the persecution. Amen? See, don't ever become offended if someone persecutes you. Or don't take it personally. That'd be a better way to say it. Just pray for them. Amen? Amen? The other day, my son was wearing a... We were at an amusement park, and he was wearing a big Jesus shirt that said, "Make Jesus famous," and somebody kind of laughed at him. I said, "Hey, don't take that personally." I said, "They got something to persecute right there, right?" Amen. And don't ever be ashamed of that. So where are we here? "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So back in the Old Testament, they had the pillar of cloud by day, and they had the pillar of fire by night. So that cloud was literally their guidance system. That was their GPS. Amen? God's positioning system. And guess what? You all have that on the inside of you. There's more analogies now that you can use, because even 20 years ago, we didn't have GPS. How many of you are thankful for GPS in your car? Man, I'll tell you, that'll eliminate 50 or 60% of the strife in your car when you're traveling with your family.
Praise the Lord.
Amen? Say, how come men don't like to ask for directions? It's right there. It's right there. Press a button. You can either, you can have a man or a woman talk to you. You know what I mean? Go right here. Go left here. You dummy, you went too far. Turn around. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, GPS, it's amazing, because you want to go from point A to point whatever, you know what I mean? You want to go to your destination. We used it last week, you know what I'm saying? And if you miss the turn, it'll all of a sudden it'll start doing something. It'll reroute you to get back to your destination. Isn't that amazing? Okay? Got that big satellite in the sky, and that's telling you where to go. All right? You can't see the satellite, but you believe it's working for you. You can't see God yet, but the Holy Ghost inside you is like that GPS system that's there to guide you, direct you, lead you. And I'm telling you what, there have been times in my life, we'll get into this, where there was divine protection that was there because of the leading of the Spirit. There was also divine provision at times because of the leading of the Spirit. There was also divine appointments where you were able to minister to someone that was in need at that moment right there. Supernatural. Well, according to this scripture right here, Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, you know, "I baptized you with water, but there's coming one after me. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So the fire and the cloud under the Old Testament are different from that of the New Testament, in that the fire and the cloud, it's not a physical thing, it's spiritual, is on the inside of us. Okay? If you're born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, I don't care if you're 12 years old or 6 years old, you have the Holy Ghost. If you believe in Jesus, you can be led by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad? So, the fire and the cloud is in us at the new birth. Now, here's something that you and I can say that the Old Testament followers of God could never say. Because you know you have to compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you think, oh, I just wish that God would do that to me. I wish that, you know, an angel could just appear to me and just tell me where to go and what to do. Now, he can't do that. But see, that was an inferior covenant. Now, I want to just take just a moment or two to describe this, because in the Old Testament, and most of you know this, in the Old Testament, the average believer, because there were no born-again believers in the Old Testament, okay? Nobody was born again until Jesus was raised from the dead. But they needed guidance, they needed direction, and so on and so forth, like you and I do. So what did they do? Well, there are three individuals that God would anoint in the Old Testament: the prophet, the priest, and the king. Those three individuals. The prophet, the priest, and the king. Now, they didn't have the Holy Ghost inside them, but the Holy Spirit would come upon them and show them and give in order to help the people and to give them direction. Prime example, Moses. Moses did not have the Holy Ghost in him, but he had the Holy Ghost come upon him. He was one of the greatest prophets of all. Amen? And the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and it'd come upon Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and these different guys, you know, the major and minor prophets, and to give the people of God direction for their lives and what they were supposed to do. So the average believer, as we would say, if they wanted direction, they had to go to a prophet, priest, or king to get direction. See, they had to find one of those guys. And if they didn't, they were helpless. All right? Now, I'm not just talking about one-on-one, you know, that can't happen. But see, the prophet, priest, and the king would give direction, general direction to the whole body of the Israelites and tell them what they needed. Moses was a prime example. Because, you know, how are you going to go to one-on-one with 22.5 million people? I mean, that would take a lifetime or more just to give direction. So he would give general direction to the whole body of followers of God, the Israelites. And he got his direction, Moses got his direction from the Lord. Okay? So again, the prophet and the priest and the king under the Old Testament were the only means of guidance for the Israelites. You can see why this would be a major disadvantage. And it is a major disadvantage. But under the New Testament, oh, thank God we live under the New Covenant. Thank God we live in the New Testament. Thank God we're born again. Because when we become born again, the Bible says now that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that three times in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and then also in 2 Corinthians, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, how many of you know in church we need instruction? We don't need entertainment. Okay? A lot of people, they just want entertainment. But listen, we need instruction to know how to function in this life. There is an anointing for us to function in this life. I'm so glad. So again, it's a major disadvantage under the Old Testament because if they wanted any direction, they had to go to a prophet, priest, or king, and if they couldn't find one or they weren't underneath them, basically they were clueless. Okay? Now here's another example of what I'm talking about here, because God had to lead, in the Old Testament, the Lord had to lead the Israelites by outward manifestations because they were spiritually dead. What's spiritual death? That means separation from God because of Adam's transgression. God could not lead. Listen, God could not lead any of the Old Testament believers by the Spirit because their spirits were spiritually dead. All right? But in the New Testament, our spirits become alive to God. You know what I'm talking about. When you came to Jesus, you made Him the Lord of your life, your spirit became alive. How many of you remember that day when that happened? You knew something changed. I mean, something different changed on the inside of you. Now, Gideon, for example, the Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and at this point in his life, you know, the Israelites were hiding from the Midianites. You know, they were in captivity. They were hiding. They were in fear. And here you got Gideon, who is in a wine press threshing wheat, because of fear of the enemy. So he's hiding, he's in a big old wine press, and he's threshing wheat, okay, for fear of the people. Think about that. And this would grab your attention. I mean, he's there inside this like a little cave, like a private cave type thing. He thinks he's all alone. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to him in that threshing place. And he said this, is the first thing he said to Gideon. In his eyes, he was nothing. He was nobody. He says, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Y'all ever read that before? Yeah. He's probably thinking, "Who in the world are you talking to?" He probably looked behind him to see who's standing behind him. Then he realized he's the only one in there. And here God shows up. The angel of the Lord shows up here supernaturally. He says, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." And immediately, he began to make excuses. He goes, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, "You got the wrong person." He goes, "I'm from the wrong family. I lived on the other side of the tracks. You got the wrong person. I'm from the poorest family in Manasseh. I'm broke. I'm busted. I'm disgusted. I sing country music." Lost my dog, my truck, and everything else. Amen. Just reverse it and get it all back, right? Amen. But listen, he made all the excuses, but here's the angel of the Lord. He said, "Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Now, it's interesting because this is a brand new experience for Gideon. And God called Gideon to lead the Israelites at this point. And he felt so insignificant. completely insignificant. He felt like, who am I that you would even dare to do this to me? But here's God. He shows up. He says, you mighty man of valor. He hasn't done one thing yet. In fact, he's hiding right now. He's in fear. But the Lord says, you're a mighty man of valor. Listen, when God shows up and he comes to you, the Bible says he quickens the dead and he calls those things that be not as though they were. He sees you, what you are, instead of what you, or what you will be instead of what you are right now. Jesus did the same thing to Simon. In John chapter 1, here comes Jesus. First meeting experience with Jesus. Jesus told Peter, he says, thou art Simon, thou shalt be called Cephas. Peter, rock. He said, you are, but you shall be. There's a revelation in that. See, when God shows up, he doesn't know, he doesn't see you like you are. He sees what you shall become. He said, you are Simon, which means reed. See, names had significance. Reed, Simon meant reed, and he was a reed, wasn't he? Yes. Blown with the wind. Gone with the wind. All right? But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was able to stand up when he couldn't even stand up to a little girl putting sticks in a fire and said, aren't you one of those guys that was falling? No, no, no. Remember that? He denied Jesus 3 times. He had no backbone. He was reed, but then he became rock. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was able to boldly stand up in front of thousands of people and proclaim boldly the gospel to people. After he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, now he is the rock that Jesus was talking about. See, when Jesus said, I'll build, you know, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember that in Matthew 16? Jesus was not talking about building the church on Peter. Amen. Like some denominations will teach that Peter became the rock. No, he was talking about revelation knowledge, because flesh and, he said, Jesus told this, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, when he said, who art thou? Who do men say that I am? Jesus said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus' response to that was, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, the rock of what? Revealed knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. See, God never and has never and will never build his church on one man. The only man he'll build it on is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And Gideon, God told Gideon, he says, oh, mighty man of valor. See, God doesn't see you. This is the beautiful thing about the Lord, is that he never sees you like you see yourself. Okay? He sees you better than what you are. It's never worse, it's better. The Lord never shows up to you and say, oh, you miserable thing, you. You're never going to amount to anything. Well, you might as well hang it up if he says that to you. If God says that to you, like, oh, is there anybody else out there? You know what I mean? But no, no, no. When God shows up to you, he gives you that supernatural hope. Some of you today, you might need some supernatural hope about a current circumstance that you're in right now. And you think, dear Lord, is this thing ever going to change? Is it going to be this way for the next 25 years? And the answer to that question is no, it's going to change, because God has taken you to a place. He's bringing you into a wealthy, the Bible says he's bringing us into a wealthy place. He brought us through the fire, he brought us through the water, and he said he'll bring us into a wealthy place. And that just doesn't just mean finances. That's part of it. Then I'll tell you, he wants you wealthy in your body, wealthy in your mind, wealthy in your relationships, in every area of your life. Amen. You are mighty man of valor. Who, me? You're kidding me. No, God says things like they are. Now, you know the story that the Lord took. He widowed down Gideon's army to exactly 300 men. You remember the story that he tested them in the water. They said, get down there and drink water. And whoever drinks the water like a dog, you know. Yeah. Just get rid of them, you know. And he says, those that are fearful, let them go home to mama. He says, get rid of the fearful first. So anybody that was afraid, go back. And so it came down to 300 people. And those God was able to do with those 300 people what he couldn't do in 5,000 men. Isn't that something? Oh, mighty man of valor. See, all you need is God on your side. You and God are majority. Do you know that? No matter what you face in life, I don't care what comes against you, what you face in this life, whatever situation that you may encounter, always remember this, that you're not in this thing alone. You've got the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that's there for you, and he is going to help you overcome anything. You know, I can't tell you how many times in life I've lost count where I've faced hurdles and circumstances, and some were pretty tall, you know. Some were medium, some were really tall. Some looked impassable. But in the midst of that, when I would face those things, I would always have to pull up my bootstraps, so to speak, and just remind myself, all right, Keith, you're not in this alone. You're not here in your own strength. You're not doing this in your own ability, because it's God that's with us. If God is with us, who can be against us? And you begin to stir yourself up. You remind yourself, you know, God's bigger than that big stupid bill. Amen? There's times I've had bills that thick behind, that thick, sitting on my desk waiting to be paid. All right? And every time I'd look at those, that stack of bills, the devil was sitting on top of those bills saying, ha, 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 I got you this time. Not literally, but I mean, that's the thoughts that are coming to my mind. Right? I could do one of two things. I could get down on my knees and cry and sing the blues and everything else. Or I can look at that thing and say, you know what? My God's bigger than that pile of bills right there. Amen. Okay? Because Satan's an intimidator. Always remember this. The devil's an intimidator. And he will try to intimidate you and make you feel inferior when you're not inferior. God made you a superior being. When he placed Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, there's nothing that you can't face. God's not big enough for you and him to go through that thing. So you have to remind yourself and practice the presence of God on a daily basis and say, God is with me. Well, I love to sing songs sometimes, just whether it's in the shower or driving down the road or whatever. Say, God is with me. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'll sing songs that I learned 35 years ago, you know, but it's the words that count. But Jesus, through the person of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, makes you majority in any situation that you face. Say, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone.
I'm never alone.
I'm never alone.
I've got God in my life. Hallelujah. See, the Old Testament, they had God with them. They had God for them. But we end up in the New Testament, God is with us, God is for us, but guess what? Hey, God is in us. Think about that. God is with me, God is for me, and God is in me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So as we become, God inside minded, there's nothing that you and I can face. We're never in this thing alone. Amen. I thank God every time I preach, every time I get up and minister, whether it's in front of this group or another group or one-on-one or in a larger group, whatever the case is, I always remind myself. I did it this morning. I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not going here in my own strength today. Because I know that within me, I have nothing within myself, naturally speaking, to offer these people today. So, Lord, I'm asking you, speak through me, work through me, bless these people that are here today. And you know what? He always shows up. Okay? And sometimes he'll remind me of that. He'll say, now remember, Keith, you're not going out there in your own strength. You know, he used to throw me big time years ago because when I was newer at this, you know, and first started ministering was that I wouldn't feel anything, you know? And I remember one time we had church in this women's club. It was the Bethel Park Women's Club. You know, that's where we started our first church. And there was a little kitchen there in the back area, you know, there was a little, you know, these little shutter windows that you have. There was a little window in the kitchen that overlooked where the people would come in. And I'd be back there pacing the floor like a lion in a den, you know, just back and forth, you know, just back and forth, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, I don't feel a blasted thing right now. I just feel so natural. I feel so fleshly. I feel so natural that I'm praying in the Spirit, you know. And the Lord, and then I'd get out there and we'd do worship. Then we'd start the service. And then I would feel the presence of God come in. And I'm thinking, why doesn't this happen back in the prayer closet? And the Lord said, you don't need it then. I get it. So in other words, there was a grace to pray back there, but there was no grace to minister right then because it wasn't needed. It wasn't needed. And so when God says, my grace is sufficient, well, you may not sense that grace until you step right into that situation where you need the grace, and there it is. There it is right there. There's been times in counseling sessions through the years that I felt so helpless and so lack of understanding in how to help this person. Because, you know, you want to help people, you know. And get in there, and I'm thinking, oh, I felt like I needed counsel. Well, someone please help me. After I heard what they went through, I need some counsel now. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. There's an anointing. There's a grace. So within me, on the inside of me. Now, they didn't know it because I didn't do it out loud. But how many of you can have a conversation with God while you're talking to people? You can be sitting there talking, but inside you're talking to the Lord. Amen. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say here. I don't know what to do here, but I am looking to you, Lord. Now give me wisdom. Give me grace for this person because I want to help this person. You know, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste their time. They need supernatural help. Now, a lot of people, they just yield to the textbook anointing. Well, it's not an anointing, but, you know, the simple, here's what, if you do this, then this will happen. It's all mental reasoning. You know what I'm trying to say? But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost knows how to counsel people. He knows what they need. Shambrokuti sakaya. Oh, man. He knows what the person needs. So within myself, now you could do the same thing. I'm not saying this to look at me. You can do the same thing. Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. And so within me, I'd say, no, Lord, I can't help this person, but I'm asking you right now, give me wisdom for this person right now. And all of a sudden, here it comes. See, the Bible says that counsel is in the heart of a man as deep waters, and a man of understanding will draw it up. See, the counsel that you need and that other person need is already in your spirit. Did you know that? Oh, I wish I'd find me a counselor. Well, you got one. You got the best counselor in the world that lives on the inside of you. What's his name? Holy Spirit. You're not going to ever pull one over on him. You're not going to say, you're never going to overwhelm God and say, you stumped me on this one. Never. So what I do, I get in that situation. See, the Bible says we're to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy says that. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you be strong in something you don't know what it is? All right, I'll be strong in the grace. I'm clueless to what it is. But see, grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is God's willingness to use his power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. And you tap into the grace of God by faith. The Bible says that you're saved by grace through faith. Faith taps into the grace of God. It's not just grace alone. But it's faith that taps into the grace of God that makes the power of God available to you. All right? We're going over the place here, aren't we? How to be led by the Spirit. How to be directed, guided, led by the Holy Ghost. So Gideon, I'm getting back to Gideon. We're talking about him until we took a major rabbit trail there. And Gideon said this. He said, all right, Lord, I know you're talking. The Lord's talking to me, but give me now a sign. Now, I want to talk about this is what we call a fleece. So what does that mean? Gideon put out a literal fleece. What, a fleece of wool, a piece of wool. And he said, all right, Lord, I hear you. I see you. You're talking to me. But I'm asking you right now, give me now a sign. Here's what I want you to do. In the morning, when the dew is upon the ground with the sun rising, he says, you know, I'm not sure what the order was there, but he says, make the fleece of wool wet, but the ground dry. so I know that you're talking to me. So what did God do? Okay, I'll do that. So the next morning, that's what happened. The wool was wet, the ground was dry. And he says, now, Lord, please be patient with me. I'm paraphrasing. He says, let it reverse now on the next day. He says, let the fleece of wool be dry, but the ground be wet. So the Lord honored that and did it. He said, okay, now I know the Lord's talking to me. All right. Now remember this. This is Old Testament guidance. Gideon was not born again. Gideon did not have the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. So he was asking for an outward sign. Lord, make this happen. Now, what we get in trouble under the New Testament is this. When we try to put out a fleece and we say something like this, now, Lord, if you want me to do such and such, then have someone knock on my door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Guess what? The devil can send someone to knock on that door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, God, I know that's you talking, you know. But see, some of the people that have put out fleeces were the most deceived people. There's some ministers that I know that put out fleeces, and they got fleeced big time. Because the devil can work up circumstances. Oh, yeah. Because he's a flesh devil. He's in the natural. And he can work up situations to make things happen. You know what I mean? But the Bible says, and we'll see this in a minute here, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. You ought to be, the number one way that God leads all of His children in the New Testament is by the inward witness, by the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Amen. So we can't pull a Gideon. We can't say, now, Lord, if you want me to do this, then do this. And, you know, and I think this will help some people this morning, because if you're looking just for outward signs, as they've, you know, if all the stars line up and everything's just perfect, you know, then, oh, that must be the Lord. You know, not necessarily. Okay? Not everything that shines is gold. Not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Not everything that comes down the pike, you know, is a God thing. Now, many, many, many years ago, about 25 years ago, we got involved. There was a opportunity that I had to invest in something. It was in the Christian realm, you know, where I was involved with back in the day. And be honest with you, I got hoodwinked into that thing. And it was, the Holy Ghost was trying to show me. My wife was trying to tell me too. But I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. And man, I tell you, I read the research, read the papers, you know, and I had a guy, this older gentleman come to me and showed me all the evidence and all this kind of stuff. He goes, I think this could really help. I mean, I really think this could. And it really looked like a good thing in the natural. And I lost hundreds of dollars investing in this thing. I mean, hundreds of dollars. Yay, thousands. A couple thousand, actually. Because I thought, well, this seems like a good thing. And I, you know, and seemed like a good thing. All these different people are doing it. But that thing was an absolute ridiculous farce. Okay? And we got stuck with the bill later. You know what I'm saying? So please don't throw rocks. I'm not the only one that's ever done this before, but made mistakes like this. But you know, you do your best, right? You do your best. Has anybody here never made mistakes before? Okay. See, I was going by outward evidence. I was going by, you know, I see this pastor's involved with this. This minister's involved with this. And so to me, it just validated in my heart, like that big ministry, they're involved in this thing too. And, you know, and so I thought, seems if it's good for them, it's good for me. And well, you know what? It turned out to be not so. Okay? A lot of people lost a lot of money in that thing. But I'm telling you, if I would have listened to my spirit, the Spirit of God was trying to show me when that was happening. He was trying to show me, but I didn't want to hear it. Am I the only one? Okay? See, I can pick on myself better than anybody else because I've been there and made some stupid mistakes that way. You know? But thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His blood. Hallelujah. That's not to say that you never make investments, because the Holy Spirit can tell you to make investments at times. There are things that He will tell you to do. Okay? All right? So, to make a Gideon fleece is really a wrong thing. Now, let's go over here to look at two more scriptures here, and then we're out of time here today. But look at Romans chapter 8. I just referred to this just a minute ago here, but Romans chapter 8. Are you with me now? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in other words, sons of God can't expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 14 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of you here are a child of God? Raise your hand. You know you're a child of God. Just be bold. Lift your hand up. Okay. Listen. This verse right here says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, children of God can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. God's GPS. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now we would say, that's the Greek word for daddy. That's intimacy. Abba, daddy, father. Oh, I have a dad. I have a father. You know, the wonderful thing about that is, I heard the Lord years ago, the Lord said this to me. He says, Keith, you know, what you didn't get in your first birth, you can get in your second birth. That's grace right there. Because we look at situations, we think, oh, doggone it, I wish I was raised in that kind of family. Look, that family, man, they were raised speaking in tongues from day one. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't raised that way. And, you know, you feel like a disadvantage. You know what I'm saying? But the Lord spoke this to me. He says, you know, what you didn't get in your first birth, you can get in your second birth. I mean, you could have came from the most wretched family in the natural, where your dad was messed up, your mom was messed up. I mean, everybody was. I mean, your family tree was a bunch of nuts. Huh? And you think, is there any hope for me? Well, listen, what you didn't get in your first birth, you can get in your second birth. Amen. What's that? That's the new birth. Because God's grace will make up where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So what you were lacking in that first situation here, and again, there's no perfect family. There's deficiencies in all families. I don't care who you are. I don't the godliest family in the earth. I mean, there's still deficiencies. And that's where God's grace can come to play. I keep getting on that this morning. So we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Amen. I was thinking of Brother Kurt sitting right here, you know. He sent me a testimony or two here and there, you know. And remember when he was healed by the power of God? Amen. And he would conclude his email or letter with, Daddy, my daddy did this. Oh, I like that. Amen. Because why? That's an intimate, personal level. See, the world calls him God. God. I don't know why they say it like that, but God. No, he's God to the world, but he's Father to us. Amen? He's Father to us. Intimate. All right, verse 16. Are you ready? You sure you can handle this? I think you can. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, or literally Himself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. All right. How do you know you're a child of God? Did someone prophesy to you and say, thus saith the Lord, thou art now a child of God? And trumpets blow, and the heavens open up. No. Did someone go up to you and say, pronounced to you are a child. No, the Spirit beareth witness. That's the Holy Ghost. Bears witness with what? Your spirit that you are a child of God. So, again, this is the primary number one way. Now, we're going to talk about the inward witness. There's also an inward voice. Okay? But it's the primary way that God leads all His children is by the inward witness. I'm telling you, if you're a teenager in this place, I don't care if you're a young adult, you can know how, right now, you can know how to be led by the Spirit of God. You can make smart decisions while everybody else is making wrong decisions. You really can. Amen. But, you know, the first way is the inward witness. Number two, the inward voice. And then there's also visions and revelations, okay, that Lord can use those things to lead, guide, and direct. And we'll get into that. He can also use angels at times to guide you and to direct you. Now, that's the exception. That's not the norm. The primary way we're going to see here is it's the inward witness. Now, this is just as supernatural as a visitation from Jesus. I used to think, you know, his brother Hagin, you know, when the Lord appeared to him like, I don't know, 15 times or something like that. I'm thinking, boy, once would be good for me. I'd love that, you know. But see, he stood in a different office. He was a prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets in the land at the time, without a doubt. And Jesus appeared to him on several occasions to give him instruction for the body of Christ. And a lot of his books you've probably read, that like How to Be Led by the Spirit and these different books that are just really powerful, you know. But see, he even, the Lord himself told him personally when he was with him in the hospital, when he told him about being led by the Spirit, he says the primary way, Jesus told Brother Hagin this, he says, matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one of those books for everybody here. I'm going to sew it into your lives. Amen. So in a couple weeks, I'm going to get you one of those books. Just sew it to you. All right. That's the first book I ever got a hold of from him, and it changed my life forever. First book. And that white book with the big dove on it. Oh, man. I think they might have changed it since then. And how to be led by the Spirit of God. But the primary way that God leads all of his children is by the inward witness. And the inward witness, that in other words, that's something inside you that says, yeah, I'm right with God. You know what I'm talking about? When you made, you know, whether it was recently or years ago, when you made Christ your Lord, Jesus your Lord, wasn't there something inside of you that connected, like you just felt like, you know what I'm talking about? You just felt like, yeah. You just felt like, oh, I just felt right. That's the way I felt. Something just felt right on the inside of me. Before, I felt guilty all the time. You know what I'm saying? But then I felt just good. I felt good. What was it? That was the Holy Ghost bearing witness with our spirits. Now, how many of you here, you want to be led by the Spirit of God? Raise your hand. How many of you want to feel that leading? Okay? Are you with me? You want to feel led by the Holy Ghost, right? Okay. Mary Beth, feel that lead right there. See, do you feel it?
Yeah.
Okay, see that? Brother Bob, feel that lead right there? Do you feel lead? You feel that? Did you get a goosebump when you touch that? Okay. I called my dad this morning. I said, bring me a sinker. He's probably thinking, what in the world are you? Now you know. Laura Lee, feel lead. Ooh, she's going to shout, amen. That's not what he's talking about. That's L-E-A-D, okay? We're talking about L-E-D, all right? Be led by the Spirit, okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I want you to make this confession of faith with me out loud. We're going to say something here because this will activate the switch that will allow the Holy Spirit to work in this capacity in your life as far as being led. Now, here's what you cannot do from here on out. Okay? Are you ready? I'll tell you what you can't do, but then I'll tell you what you can do. Is never say, now if you do it and then catch yourself or repent, ask the Lord to forgive you, but never say, I'm confused. Never again, write that down. Never again say, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I'm not confused. Is God confused? No. Never. And then neither should you. Never say I'm confused. Never say I just don't know what to do. You know? But what you can say, and you say it by faith, you may not feel any different at the time when you do it, but let me tell you something. If you hold fast to that saying and that phrase, that as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. Sons of God can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. Say this after me. Say, I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
And I expect,
to be led
by the Spirit,
in every area of life.
I boldly confess
that I hear
the voice
of the Good Shepherd
in my spirit.
I always know what to do
and what not to do.
In every circumstance,
I am led.
I am led.
by His Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God,
praise God, praise God. So you wake up in the morning, oh, I thank you, Father. You can put it in your own words. You can say, I thank you, Father, today that I'm led by your Spirit. I'm always at the right place. My wife, I always hear her saying that. I'm always at the right place at the right time, you know. And there's no special feeling attached to that. There's no goosebump attached to that. But you know what? God will take your word. God will take the words that you speak and line up the course of your life, and He'll start taking you down a path and taking you down this path, and all of a sudden there's a connection here and a connection there, and I mean, it's just so supernatural. Amen. So supernatural. See, the confession of God's word was not just for the Israelites. It wasn't just for Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law, this word of God shall not depart from before out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have good success. He said, this word of God shall not depart from out of your mouth. That was the key to his success.
That's right.
Taking over Moses' position. Big, big shoes to fill there. He says, don't let the word depart from out of your mouth. In other words, speak the word only. Only speak what you want to see happen in your life. I thank you today, Heavenly Father, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is that? Psalm 23, the end of the tail end of that. Goodness and mercy shall follow me today. I thank you, Lord, for Psalm 5:12 that favors upon the righteous like a mighty shield, and it encompasses me everywhere I go. I thank you that I have favor everywhere I go. Man, if you're in business, you walk into that place, you say, I thank you, Lord, that I have favor everywhere I go. And be sure to treat people nice.
Yeah.
Amen. You'll have a lot more favor when you treat people nice. Amen. Just be kind to people. Be friendly to people. I mean, just don't beat them with a hammer. Beat them with kindness. If you want to win the world, don't beat them with a hammer, someone said. Show kindness to them. Show goodness. Show mercy. Because what you sow is exactly what you reap. So I'm led by the Spirit. I know what to do. I know where not to go. I know where to go. The Spirit of God leads me. Now we'll close here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is my last verse right here. And it says, "In the very God of peace," it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. We know, you know, if you've been around any length of time here, that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. God does not give you direction in your mind. God doesn't give you direction in your body. He gives you direction in your spirit, because your spirit is a part of you that's born again. Amen? When they buried Lynn's father this week, you know, boy, it was an honor to know that man. I'll tell you that right now. And I told him that. It was one of the last things I told him. But I could just envision him, you know, and in that old, worn-out body, you know, and all of a sudden his spirit just leaves his body. Man, you never felt as good as you ever did after that, you know. I mean, you're locked in that body like that, you know, and all of a sudden he's released from that, you know. Now he's in glory with the angels. You see, that's the biggest difference between you and I today, because the people in the world, they see that body laying in the casket. They think that's them right there. No, that's just the shell. You know, certain times of the year, have you ever seen these locust shells? You know what I'm talking about? I don't ever understand this, but my wife thinks they're cute. So, no, that's a plague, man. That's not... But you know, you've seen these little brown shells, you know what I'm saying? You know, when we were down doing the wedding last week, one of the girls ran out, and this is, you know, near the D.C. area, and they ran out, and they had a big old, must have been a huge snake out there, and there was a snake skin as long as the snake. And some girl comes running in with this big snake skin, you know, and she said, "Look what I got," you know. I said, "Well, you can make a pair of boots out of that or a belt or something," you know what I mean? But, you know, that's not the real, that's just the shell that the house that the snake used to live in, or the whatever. And that, when you see that body lying in there in the casket, that's not them. That's just the old house that they used to live in. Now they're in glory. Hallelujah. All right. So God wants our spirit, our soul, and our body to be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, next week, we'll get in more of the specifics of this, okay, in the how-tos. You know, how do I know what to do? You know, there's certain things you just... There's general direction by the Word of God that will tell you things. Like, for example, you don't have to pray whether it's God's will to heal you or not, because it's already in the Word. It's spelled out in the Word. You don't have to pray whether or not it's God's will to save someone, because it's clear. It's in the Word of God, right? You don't have to pray whether or not it's God's will for someone to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's spelled out in the Word of God. It's so plain as day. As someone says, plain as the nose on your face. I mean, it's just as real, because it's the known will of God is already clear in the Word of God. However, there are certain things that you can't find Scripture that will tell you, like whether you're supposed to take a job, whether you're supposed to get into a relationship with this person or that person or whatever. You can't find verse in Scripture on those. In other words, okay, like, am I supposed to go down to this place and get a job at this place, you know, and there's an opening there? I can't find Scripture and chapter and verse about that. So what do you do in a situation like that? We're going to talk about that. How you can know how to be led by the Spirit in every area of life. I'll tell you, it's the most wonderful thing. Jesus said this in closing. He said this to Brother Kenneth Hagin when he appeared to him. He says, Kenneth, he said, if you learn to follow my Spirit, and he says, this would apply not only to you, but to the body of Christ. He said, if you learn to follow my Spirit, he says, I'll make you rich. Jesus said that to him. Now, he said, in his mind, he said, rich means millionaire. Now, rich doesn't mean just millionaire. Rich means full supply. Full supply. That could mean a millionaire. But the Lord said, if you follow my Spirit and you're led by my Spirit, he says, I'll make you wealthy. And guess what? It's the same with you and I. Amen. He will lead us into a wealthy place, not a poverty-stricken place. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you learn some things this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this precious body. I just see in my spirit, Father, that there's a new awareness like never before of the Spirit of God inside of each and every one of us, that we're going to be more sharp, more keen, more sensitive, more aware of what the Spirit of God is telling us to do. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for making our spiritual senses so keen and so sharp.
Hallelujah.
That we're not going to be in the dark. We're not going to be in the cloud, so to speak. We're going to know with every circumstance. Thank you, Lord. Oh, no, we're not going to be led by pressure, not be led by guilt, not because someone puts pressure on you to do something. We're not led by that. We're led by the Spirit. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And He will guide us. And He will direct us in all the affairs of this life. Hallelujah. And so I thank you for that, Lord. Now this week, Father, I pray that as we leave right now, Lord, that you supernaturally instruct us, teach us, lead us this entire week, Father. And Lord, it'll be said when we come back next week, oh, I'm just so excited about what God's doing, what He's saying, what He's speaking to me, and there'll be a new joy in your step, a new peace. Thank you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for these things today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.